Hi, this is Mike Swanson, Wall Street Window. I got a special guest. I'm talking today with Ike Iosef of MarketNews.tv. Oh, I'm doing great. It's good to talk to you. And we were talking right before the interview about a lot of the questions you've been getting recently from your listeners and subscribers and so forth. And they're actually ones that are on my mind, too. And I guess the one right at the top of the list is the low value in the VIX. The VIX is something that active traders in the United States watch very closely, because as it goes up, that often coincides with market bottoms, but low VIX levels sometimes coincide with market tops, and we've had the VIX now declining for quite some time. So I'm just curious, what do you think is going on with it?
What I think has to do with me, what I think has to do with my observations of the VIX over the years. And what I have observed is this. The VIX is a great timing tool if you want to use it in that manner when it comes to bottoms. Because at great bottoms, the VIX has the tendency to spike up for a few days. In addition to that, it has the tendency to form a divergence, which I will go into in a second. On the other hand, when it comes to tops, the VIX is good only for short-term tops, like 3, 4, 5-day tops. But when it comes to intermediate-term tops, the VIX is not all that great at it, unless you can observe, once again, a divergence. So to be more specific, let's look at the chart of the VIX that goes back to 2000. That's a 13-year chart, okay? Now, if you look at the bottom in March of 2003, we observe the two things that, as I mentioned, mark intermediate term bottoms. First, we saw the VIX spiking up, okay? That happened in October of 2002. Mm-hmm. And then in March of 2003, we saw another spike, but that was at a lower high. So we have both the spike and the divergence. And that marked the bottom in March of 2003. Then, from March of 2003, the VIX kept falling until early 2007, okay?
Yeah, I see that.
That did not mark, the bottom in the VIX did not mark the top in equities. In fact, as we see, in August and October of 2008, as the market made a higher high, so did the VIX. So here is once again our divergence. Smart money already knew that this high in August, in July, and again in October of 2007 were going to be the highs, and after that things were going straight to hell, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. And then let's move to the last intermediate term bottom we had in 2008 and 2009. We see the spike in October of 2008, okay? That's the first requirement. And then in March of 2009, we have one more spike, but that spike is at a lower high. So here again, we have a divergence. We have a lower low in price, a lower high in the VIX. And now let's move to where we are right now. Right now, we're nowhere.
Yeah.
We don't have a spike low. We don't have a spike high. We don't have a divergence. So as far as the VIX is concerned, the only conclusion we can arrive at is one of a short-term importance. Every time the VIX makes a new low, we can tell that, you know, we'll have a pullback for the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 days. But as far as arriving at a conclusion with regards to an intermediate term top, we don't have any indication yet, none whatsoever. So this is what I want to caution to people looking at the VIX and trying to draw and trying to come to conclusion. Looking at 14 years of history, and if you want, you can go back to 20 or 25 years, you will see the same thing. Right now, the VIX has not given us anything that allows us to come to conclusion. Maybe it will over the next few weeks, but right now we don't have anything.
Yeah, well, that I've had people like send me comments saying, well, you know, the VIX has made a new low, so how could you think the market's going to go higher and so forth? So you pretty much are, what you're showing here kind of shows, well, it can go lower. It was lower in 2007, and just because it made new lows, say, in 2005 and then went up, didn't really mean anything either.
No, because look, it made new lows in 2005, in 2006, and again in 2007.
Yeah.
What marked the market top was the divergence. The market made the higher top, and the VIX made the higher top as well.
Right.
Okay? We don't have any of that yet, nothing.
Right. Well, does that mean that the VIX right now, it can't really tell you anything?
That's my view. And again, please allow me to qualify this.
Sure.
It cannot tell you anything with regards to an intermediate term pop. I think it does tell you plenty with regards to short term.
Okay.
Short term, you can get a very choppy market.
Well, for
What it tells you for the short term. Choppy market, lots of backing feeling, but doesn't tell you anything about the intermediate term.
Well, do you believe that the market will go higher over the intermediate term?
Well, actually, yeah, I believe that, and I can justify it from the next chart.
Okay.
Okay, the next chart is our proprietary market timing model for the intermediate term, okay? And it goes back to mid-2006, so we've got about 7 years of history. I can tell you the same thing holds back, the same thing holds true if we go back 30 years, okay? Now, those who are subscribers of MarketViews.tv and those who listen to your program as well, they know that in order to get a valid signal from our market timing model, what I need is 3 consecutive closes below the 20-day moving average, okay? The blue line is the 3-day moving average. The red line is the 20-day moving average of the indicator. If we get three consecutive closes below the 20-day moving average, then we have a signal. Okay. If it's below, we get a sell signal. If it's above, we get a buy signal. Now, the interesting thing is this. At intermediate market tops that have resulted in losses in excess of 20%, we have also observed a negative divergence. At the second or third market high, the indicator made a lower high. And let's go back to 2007. We can see that from April of 2007 to the end of 2007, the S&P or the SPY made 3 different highs, right? If you look directly above, you'll see that the indicator made 3 lower highs, okay?
Yeah.
Now, let's look at the top in in 2011. We got three tops, okay? But look at the indicator above.
Yeah,
you made three lower tops, okay? And look where we are right now. Right now, we have nothing.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
In other words, what I'm getting at is, we could very well get three consecutive closes below the 20-day moving average. And that will give us an intermediate term sell signal. But because we don't have any negative divergences, I would think, I would expect that we will get another run, another leg up that will be followed by a negative divergence. At that point, if it happens, then we can have a decline in excess of 20%. One will say this, Mike. How sure are you about this? Are you 100% sure? Of course I'm not. There's always a first time for everything. And it could be that at this point, just the market falls apart, all right? That I do not know. But what I do know is if you go back 30 years, every major top has been accompanied by a negative divergence in the indicator. Does it have to happen again? No. But if it doesn't, it will be a first. And I just don't bet on the first. Okay? So, if the pattern was to repeat itself the way it has had the last 30 years, before we see a major top, I would expect a negative divergence. It hasn't happened. So, I'm inclined to believe that we get a decline for a few weeks, and then we get another leg to the upside. And at that time, we will probably observe a negative divergence. Now, the question is, how high can the market go? Right now, I have two different targets. I get these targets using a proprietary regression analysis formula. The first target is 1625 in the S&P, plus or minus 25 points. The next target, if this one is exceeded, is 1675 in the S&P, plus or minus 25 points. So, if the pattern repeats itself, I would expect a major market top to occur a few months from now, somewhere between 1625, 1675 with the S&P, plus or minus 25 points.
Well, that's assuming that the timing model shows a negative divergence. So, if it doesn't, then we can not worry and stay bullish, and maybe that'll happen next year. If a negative divergence comes, then we can say, uh-oh, we better worry. We better get more cautious. Which is good. It's like a guiding signal, you know?
Well, look, the previous divergences occurred within a 6 to 8 month time window.
Mm-hmm.
So if it started to occur now, then we have until the end of the year at the latest.
Right.
Okay? It could very well happen sometime in the summer, but it could drag on until the end of the year.
Well, would you agree then with someone that would say that, and I'm hearing this some on CNBC, basically they say that the Fed is printing money and helping the market, and they're not going to stop. So they're saying there's basically no risk for buying stocks right now, and everyone should just do it. Would you agree with that?
No. When it comes to that, I disagree. I disagree for two different reasons. Okay. The first one is this. Let's say that the S&P can go all the way up to 1700. Okay?
Okay.
As we speak right now, the S&P is at 1550. Okay? Mm-hmm. So let's say, best case scenario, between now and the end of the year, goes all the way up to 1700. Let's say 10% advance. All right? Okay. Now, if we look at the third chart and the last one, and I should say, on this chart, I have the Dow, not the S&P, sure, but it's the same thing.
Sure.
Oh, let's say the Dow or the S&P have another 10% to go on the upside.
Okay.
The chart suggests that following this 10% advance, which would be the best case scenario, we can have a decline in excess of 50%, okay? So from a risk return point of view, does it make sense to risk $50 to make 10? I would say no, it's nonsense.
Yeah.
The idea is to risk 10 to make 50. In other words, 50 to make 10.
Right.
So no, I don't think that this is the time to buy unless you're a short-term trader.
Okay.
And you can buy now or tomorrow, the day after, whatever, and then you sell in a couple of weeks or in a couple of months.
Okay.
But if you are an intermediate-term trader, okay, or an intermediate-term investor or a long-term investor, I think the thing to do between now and the end of the year is to get rid of stocks.
Mm.
Not to buy stocks. And again, I want to go back to what I said both about the VIX and the intermediate term model. Neither of them suggest that the top is on hand. Both of them suggest that a major market top is a few months away.
Okay.
So I'm not saying the market has topped out. No. But what I'm saying is between now in the next few months, if what you want to do is preserve capital, the best thing to do is start, you know, taking some chips off the table. And I'll tell you why. I first appeared on the public scene back in 1995 when I was at Channel 22.
Okay.
So people have been listening to me for the last 15, 16, 17 years. Back then, there were people who were 40 years old. Now there are 55, 57, 58. There are some others who were 50 then, and now they are 67, 68.
Yeah, sure. Okay?
And the third chart is mostly addressed to those people who are right now 55, 60 years old. If you look at the previous two bear markets, they were very short in duration. The bottom, I mean, the market came off its bottom in 2003 within 3 months. And it did the same thing in 2009. Okay? So even though we had a large decline in terms of percentage points, okay, the market recovered very quickly. So if you had the time to wait for 2 or 3 years, unless you know you were in internet stocks back in 2000,
right,
then you really did not get hurt. Okay? Unless you were in banking stocks in 2008, 2007, you didn't really get hurt. Because those are the market recovered. Now, the risk this time around has to do with time. Who is to say that the next bear market does not take not 2 or 3 months to come off its bottom, but 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years? I do not know that, and nobody knows that. And if you are 60 years old, can you afford to find out? If you're 60 or 65 or 70 years old, and then it takes for the market 3, 4, 5, 7 years to build a base and then start to move up. Do you have the time to wait if you're 70 years old or if you're 60 or 65? Probably not. And this is the point I want to make. The market is not at a top yet. I believe we'll arrive at that point a few months from now. And when it does enter a new bear market, it may not be as quick and swift as the previous two. If you are 30, 35, 40 years old, you have the luxury to wait around and find out. But if you're 55, 60, 65, 70 years old, you don't have that luxury. And that's why I believe over the next few months, you need to lighten up your positions.
Let me throw a comment about or a question. In 2000, I think I've been talking to you since 2001, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. But in 2000, it's crazy how time goes by, but my mom had an account on E-Trade. And at the time, she had a bunch of mutual funds that, you know, she had owned from some broker or something. And I sold them all because I was scared that we were going to see this bear market. And of course it did come, but I didn't know how long it would last. Just exactly what you're talking about, this time risk. I didn't know if it would last a year or 10 years. You know, the market could just die out, just as you're describing. So what I did was I took her money and I bought a bunch of municipal bonds with it, you know, paying at the time 5% interest or something. Now the thing is here, if someone decided to lighten up as a long-term investor with, you know, they had mutual funds or whatever, and they wanted to lighten up on these positions at the end of the year, I don't know, like what I did with my mom in 2000, you know, I don't, taking money out of stocks and into bonds, that could be a total disaster if someone did that in the end of this year, because the bond market, I think, could do exactly what you're describing. It could top out at some point, and the interest rates at such low rates, you know, basically zero, that could be the bottom for ever. I don't know. And so,
well, see,
so what I'm saying is, where would people go? You know, I mean, that's the argument they're saying on TV, which is a little crazy that you have no choice to buy stocks. But there is some truth that moving into bonds could be a trap. So what do you think, how should people handle this?
Why not stay in cash and wait and see?
Yeah, yeah.
And something else that I would like to add, with regard to time risk. During the previous two bear markets, the Fed came in the first time with extremely low interest rates, the second time with QE.
Right.
And lifted the market.
Right.
The next time around, what is it going to do?
Yeah.
It has nothing.
That's
it has
true.
No more ammunition. And that is why the market may be left to its own devices to build a base, which may take time in order to get rid of all the excesses we have seen over the last 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is a reason why I believe there may be some time risk involved that wasn't during the previous two bear markets. The previous two bear markets, the Fed had some ammunition. Now it doesn't have any. So the money has to be left alone. If it's left alone, how soon can he recover? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years? I do not know. But if I'm 65 or 70, I just wouldn't want to find out.
No. And that's a huge point no one is bringing up, you know, that they inflated in the past two times. If the bond market has turmoil, or, you know, how are they going to lower rates below zero, you know?
Exactly.
How are they going to do it again? We'll, as we wrap up, do you have any other thoughts or any other ideas?
No, I just want to wrap it up and say this. The indicators, the intermediate and long-term indicators, do not suggest that the market top is at hand right now. All they're saying is we could have a pullback, but a more important top is a few months out. And when that top occurs, then the ensuing bear market may not be as quick as the previous two we've seen the last 14 years. So my point is, I believe that over the next few months, people ought to use the opportunity to lighten up on their portfolios and then wait and see what happens.
That makes a lot of sense. And I'm going to keep an eye on your timing indicator to see how it plays out, too, in the next couple months, and hopefully do a follow-up interview, too.
Of course, of course.
Well, thanks.
Mike,
thank you,
Mike, for giving me the opportunity.
Sure, thanks. We'll talk later.